Now, our second half of today's sermon and service is going right the way back. We've got one of the, we've got the message from James. And now we're going to jump right to the very beginning, or near the beginning of the Old Testament, with Numbers. And we have Numbers 11. And we've got three readings picked out from Numbers 11. And if you would like to follow those, they are 4 to 6, 10 to 18, and 24 to 29. 4 to 6. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." Verses 10. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance of their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as if a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised an oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I can't carry on all these people by myself. The burden's too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. If I have found favor in your eyes, do not let my face my own ruin." And the Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting, that they may stand with you there. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people, and you, so that you will not carry it all alone. Tell the people, 'Consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it.'" So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of the elders and had them stand around the tent. This is verse 24. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with them, and he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not so again. However, two men whose name was Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. As a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his Spirit on them." That's the word of God. Amen. So we've got three passages there in the same story. Just to fill in, the Israelites have been going through the desert, and they found that they weren't getting any food. They'd run out of food. They'd not really been able to pack much because they were in a hurry when they left Egypt. And the Lord had provided manna for them. In the morning, it was there like the dew. And it was like a bread substance that they ate. But they were getting a bit bored with it. So the first part was really about them complaining. And I wonder if it's human nature to complain. Now, I'm not talking about going in a restaurant and complaining about the food. Most of us know we will complain, but we won't actually say anything to the people that it matters. I'll give you a little example of something here. If I was to give my eldest son, Callum, £10 in the morning, and say, "Hey, son, have that, just because." And then the next day, when he came down to breakfast, I said to him, "Tell you what, I've got some spare, have that as well." And this goes on every day for about a week. Here's a tenner. I'd be pretty skinned, but if you kept doing it. If after a couple of weeks I did this every day, wouldn't it be his human nature on the day that I found that I couldn't give it to him or I didn't have it, that he'd become to rely on it? He'd be a bit miffed. Where's the £10 note? In the same way, the Israelites who had nearly starved were so glad and praised God for the gift of manna, now had become used to it and forgot what a gift it was. We should note here that things are perhaps done not to our, when things are done not to our standard, or exactly how we want it to be done, we should always ask ourselves, is it a gift? Is the person giving it to us volunteering it? Giving up their free time to help out? Or have we become used to something and we start to complain? Now, I said at the beginning, the Israelites complained. We read later that Moses complained. We read later in the passage that Job, actually, with all his troubles, he complains and says, speak. But the one difference is that he spoke to God, and so did Moses. And that's the difference. In a sense, the Israelites didn't complain to God. They just complained and moaned. And in Liverpool, we have a saying, they slagged him off. They weren't impressed. They moaned. They stirred up trouble. We were, you know, kept stirring it up. If we have a problem or a gripe, we should face it. You need to approach the person there is a gripe with. There may be a perfectly acceptable reason why things might not be done in the way you want them. You may not have the full picture. We need to share, care, and have prayer. But if you are going to approach somebody, you need to pray about it. You need to do it with love and in love. In the same way in the New Testament, if you have a problem with a brother, pray and then discuss it with them. But don't do what the Israelites did here. Complain and grumble and stir up trouble and slag them off. Right, now. I now need 3 volunteers. It's a bit of a different service today when we get to the thing. You two can't do it, you already know. Francis, I'm going to drag you out later. If you sit for a moment, you're going to be one of my helpers later on. So if I can have 3. Oh, I'm going to have to pick somebody. This is great. Right, you're first. I love it. Joan, would you help us out here? Bev. Okay, lovely. Right, I'm giving each of you... I'm giving each of you a little jigsaw, because I did notice you were getting a bit tired there, a bit sleepy.
So I've been up for too.
Have you? Oh. Right, if you want to go to the back and maybe do your jigsaw there, and there's yours, Joan. If you maybe want to go to the little red table and do yours, and Bev, if you find... All right, we'll go over by Steve and Janet and just do on that chair behind there. If you see if you can... You're good. Yeah, okay, they're doing my jigsaws for me. It's got nothing to do with the surface, I just need them later on. Okay. So let's go back to the readings again. And let's look at Moses here. Okay? He's leading all these people and they are complaining and complaining to him. But he doesn't have the answers, the way to change things. He's getting a bit of a headache. He has so much stuff to sort out and they are complaining and he feels bad and he feels alone. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance to their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He was worried. He knew God was angry and what would happen. He was doing his best, but God was angry. Goes on. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant?" In a sense, he was complaining, but complaining to the right person. Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nursery? first carries an infant to the land you have promised on an oath. He's getting stressed out here. He's got the whole of the Israelites, and he's having to carry them as if they're children. He says to God, "Did I ask for this? They're your people. I can't control what they think or do." He goes on, "Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me." I feel quite sorry for Moses here, because he didn't have our book, the book of instructions, the Bible. He was one of the first to have God's burdens, but he didn't have the previous examples to look back on like we do. We know God will only burden us with things that with his help we can do. We might not think we can do them, but with his help we can. But he didn't know that. "If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. If I have found favor in your eyes, do not let me face my own ruin. Surely death is easier than this." Many people today carry burdens or responsibilities on their own. Others feel lonely or lost because there is no one to care for them or share with them or offer prayer for them. Right, let's see how hard jigsaw people are doing. How are you getting on, Joan?
Terrible.
Oh. You're not doing too badly, I tell you. Bev, how are you getting on down there?
Not too good, I'm afraid.
Not too good. Oh, dear. Right, and then where's she gone down there? Oh, where is she? Sorry. Robin?
I've got an empty corner.
You've got an empty corner. You've got an empty corner.
I think I've got another puzzle
here. Oh. Oh, I wonder what's happened. I tell you what, you two at the back, why don't you collect yours up? And why don't you all go and maybe try and do it together? That might be easier. And Francis, I think this might... You go and help them. You go and sort them out for me, Francis. You know what these ladies are like. They need you. Yeah. You go and help them out, okay? And do you want to go and help them out? Don't let on. Right. I think I know somebody who might mess them up. Right. Okay. Are you all right bringing them up? Yeah. If you bring them all to the front, it might be a bit easier. Right. The Bible tells us to bear each other's burdens, to look after one another. Paul talks about different gifts we've all been given, okay, from God. And James, we heard earlier, tells us this, and I'm going to read it again. "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being even as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins." So I take you back to our pieces of string, wrapping us all in a web earlier. If you're standing out there on your own, you cannot let anybody know if you're troubled, if you're ill, if you need help. You need to be in community to share these things. And it is laid out like we lay all our prayers out. We need to confess the importance of confessing our sins and that we pray for each other and so we may be healed. And it says here, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And then it gives us examples of Elijah, just a normal man who prayed for something really quite, you know, difficult that no normal man could do. I couldn't, you know, well, maybe I could if I really prayed. But the thing is, you know, to go out and if we said to somebody, I'm going to pray now that it's not going to rain again, you'd go, really? But he was able to do it. And then it reminds us how we should support each other. So that if one person falls off the path, we should help them come back. To pray for one another, confess ourselves, sins, and help each other to follow Christ. Right. How are you getting on, guys? Keep going. Nearly there.
I'm missing one bit.
Oh.
Is that bad?
Don't know. How are you getting on? Nearly. Oh, you're getting not too bad, aren't you? Let's have a look. Oh, we've got one there. Oh, that's rather
that'll
funky.
Be
that'll be your one. I think that goes over there, Francis, that bumblebee. You know, I bought these for age 3 to 4. That's it. They're not doing too badly. So, but do you think they're getting, do you think you're getting on better altogether than when you were on your own?
Yeah.
Yes. Being a Christian isn't easy. If we help our brothers and sisters, we will make it easier for all of us. But is that enough? Let's read on in our passage. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of the elders and then had them stand around in the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him. And he took some of the spirit power out of Moses that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested on them, they prophesied but did not so again. The fact that they're called elders and leaders shows that they were already in sort of positions of power over their part of the Israelites. They were already helping to an extent. But Moses was still troubled and stressed and doing all this work on his own. It was the Lord who turned round. How are you getting on?
Oh,
well, if you all just sit there, I'll see what I can do about that. So, we've heard, there's Moses, he's got all the elders, because God says bring in the elders in the book. So they were already there. But it took God, in a sense, to say, Moses, bring the elders into the tent. And he took some of the spirit that was on Moses and shared it. Moses needed the elders to work with him. But it was only when God poured out his spirit upon them that they were able to share the responsibilities. They all needed God's help. James, in the New Testament, told the believers to help each other, confessing their sins and bringing people back to God. They are all actions which help people to receive God's grace. Looking after each other is good. But without God, there is something missing. I'm so sneaky. You see, there's three pieces in here. We've got three jigsaws, all very nicely done. Well done, ladies. There we go. But if I open my little bag, you will find the three pieces that you need to get the pictures completed. looking after one another is good, but without God, as I said, there is something missing. The jigsaw people here had a better chance together, but they couldn't fully complete the picture without the missing piece. The church is made up of different individuals with different gifts, all supporting each other. But this community is only effective when God's grace is at work with it. We are tempted to live in isolation and independence, but that's not God's way. He has put us into communities. We no longer are standing alone when he originally met us. He has created us to be relational. We are made in his image. We need to form relations. And this allows us to be helped and formed through these relationships. Sometimes we find community a joy. It's great. Sometimes it can be a source of stress. Numbers 11 that we've just gone through reminds us of the times when Moses' experience of leading the people of Israel became almost too much for him. He was overwhelmed by the magnitude of the task, especially when the people started to complain. But he prayed for God's intervention, and the way God intervened was to use others. Moses was to share out the pressure and the responsibility. The Spirit came down and anointed all the leaders. And in the last section of the passage we read, it confused Joshua, the two gentlemen, Medad and the other one, who were outside. Now, they might have been left there just to keep an eye on things. They didn't go to the tent. That's not explained, but they were still elders. And the Spirit also landed on them. And they started to prophesy. And Joshua just couldn't understand this. He was going, hang on a minute, they shouldn't be doing this. They shouldn't be doing this. This is Moses' power. They shouldn't be allowed to do this. And Moses turned to them and said, I would rather, let's read those words. I'm going to go back. Right to the beginning. Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and the Lord would put his Spirit on them. Moses was actually saying, I want all of you to be like leaders. Have all the power and all the Spirit. As I said, Joshua has clearly presumed that only selected people could receive God's anointing. But this wasn't the case. A foretaste of what was to come. God would pour out his Spirit on all people. Sometimes God seems to use people in ways we don't immediately understand. Jesus faced similar confusion and questions from the disciples in Mark 9 when they witnessed other people driving out demons in Jesus' name. Jesus didn't seem to be bothered or concerned, but the disciples, they couldn't understand it. These weren't people in Jesus' realm. They were outside Jesus, you know, his special select group. And that's why they were viewed with suspicion. Martin Luther is a reformer, and he highlighted from scripture, the doctrine of priesthood of all believers. And that means we can all be like the priests, in a sense. How can I picture this? We've talked in our home groups, and I think we're all doing the same, about Elizabeth and her husband, Zachariah. And Zachariah was a priest who was so high up, he went behind the curtain to offer the incense to God. What we're saying here is every single one of you came to God because God wanted you. You're all in a community, but you are all equally as important. You are all in the high priesthood. We are familiar with the teachings on the value of every part of the body, Christ's body, as in said in Corinthians. And James 5, that passage demonstrates the practice, in practice, acknowledging the function of leadership, but also individuals, a sort of corporate responsibility. He writes about the value of praying for the sick and confessing our sins to each other, so that we may find help and forgiveness, praying for one another, correcting each other, all appropriate expressions for a community who follow Jesus. Let us just bow our heads. Lord, we are sorry for closing our eyes so that we cannot see what causes others to be happy or sad. We are sorry for closing our ears so that we can not hear what they have to say. Open our eyes and open our ears and help us to love one another. But open our mouths as well to share with one another in a community of peace, so we will find forgiveness and wholeness in you. Amen.